Hello, I'm R.A. Spratt. I write and perform this podcast. If you'd like to support the show, I'm a children's author, so you can buy a book by me, or you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. It's an easy way to make a small thank you gift to the show so I can keep kicking this can down the road. The podcast directory you're using right now should have a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page in the show notes, or you can type it into your browser. That's buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. All contributions are gratefully appreciated. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Well, it's a beautiful Easter weekend here in Bowral. I know this doesn't drop till Wednesday, but it's Monday of the long weekend as I'm recording. It's absolutely gorgeous sunny weather out there. We got to the beach this weekend, which was lovely. I had a fantastic week last week. I got to go up to the Gold Coast for the Somerset Festival, with the Children's Literary Festival, which was really a lot of fun. It was great to see the kids, but it was also great to see all my author friends. I mean, I know we've been out of COVID for a while now, but during COVID, all the literary festivals, they wound down and all the authors haven't seen as much of each other. So it's been really nice to see people again and catch up in person. Okay, so this week, the big announcement this week is merchandise. People have been asking me about merchandise for years, like years and years. And it's actually, I can draw, but I don't really have an eye for design. And it's kind of hard, actually. Well, I find it hard to design a cool T-shirt. So I've had a few goes at it, but I haven't come up with anything I was happy with. But I was fiddling with it the other day, and I did come up with a design I was happy with. So I thought, okay, this is it. I'll do it. I will do merch so we can so you guys can buy merch and support the show. And also it's just a bit of fun. And it also will just help support the podcast. So that would be awesome. So I'm launching it this week. There's T-shirts, mugs, stickers. I might try and do hats as well. The way I've done it is I'm using this company called Threadless, which if you've ever seen me live, I actually wear Threadless shirts a lot. Like they have like you can put up your own design and then people anywhere in the world can say, okay, I'll have a T-shirt with that design, and they get it printed off and sent to them in their home. So it means I don't have to print up shirts or post things myself. You can just go to the website and they will put together the order and send it to you wherever you are in the world. So that's pretty important these days because I don't know if you realize this, but there's people listening to this podcast in something like 190 different countries around the world. Like it's really spread out around the world, the people listening. So I wanted to make sure I used a supplier who could get the merchandise to as many people as possible. So if you're in Australia, it might be a little frustrating because it will have to be shipped to you from overseas, but I think it's the fairest way for everyone because it's an international company. So anyway, if you want to get a shirt or a mug or a sticker or whatever else I get up there, if you go to my website, raspratt.com, on the banner, there's a merchandise link and you can click through the links and you'll find the online shop. Otherwise, I'll just put a link to the online shop in the show notes for this episode. All right, that's enough of talking about that. Let's get into what you're here for, which is a story. So last week, I read to you the first half of a chapter from Nanny Pickens and the Daring Rescue, and that was called Boris and the Grandmaster. So we're going to read the second half today. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I have a bit of a run-in, which is I'll read the last couple of paragraphs of where we left off so you can remember what was going on, and then I'll go straight into the fresh bit. Right, I'm just going to swap my glasses. This always happens. I realize I'm wearing the wrong glasses. And okay, here we go. "Come along then," said Nanny Piggins. They started to make their way towards the door. "But what about the $1,000? Called the clipboard man. They kept walking. "What about the cheesecake?" he called again. Nanny Piggins froze. She turned to look at her brother. "Boris, would you mind terribly beating all these people at chess?" "Oh, I don't know," said Boris. "Please," said Nanny Piggins. "I really like cheesecake." "Do they have honey-flavoured cheesecake?" asked Boris. "If they don't, we could always tip a bucket of honey over a cheesecake as soon as we got it home," said Nanny Piggins. "All right," said Boris. "I'll play." Okay, so this is the fresh bit. There were 256 players in the tournament. Who would have guessed that there were so many dirty, anorak-wearing chess players in Dulsford? Which meant that Boris had to play and win 6 games to make it through to the final. It turns out this was not a problem, because he really was a chess genius. There was a scare in his first game when it looked like he was going to fall asleep and slump across the chess table. But by playing an audio recording of a babbling brook, Nanny Piggins was able to lure Boris out to the toilet, and once he was there she forced him to drink 10 litres of honey, which he enjoyed enormously, and that perked him up, so he played much more quickly from then on. Boris concentrated so hard he did not even notice the smack talk from the other players. In official chess tournaments, it is, of course, against the rules to say mean things to other players. But since at least half the players were from Eastern Europe, they were all able to say all sorts of horrid things to each other without the organisers knowing.
"You are a great big fatty," one player told Boris.
This would normally make such a soft-hearted bear cry for a week. But he did not even notice because he was concentrating so hard on how he could capture his opponent's rook, take control of that quadrant of the board, and force a checkmate. In Boris's fifth game, his opponent became so incensed that he was going to lose that he tried leaping up and hitting Boris. Fortunately for him, Boris did not notice. Being 10 foot tall and 700 kilograms, a little thing like a right hook felt like nothing more than a tickle, especially when he was concentrating on capturing his opponent's bishop, employing the Borowski gambit, and forcing a checkmate. Finally, after 2 long days and 7 matches, Boris made it through to the grand final. All the other tables had been cleared away and raised seating had been arranged around the one remaining table. "So where is Olga?" asked Nanny Piggins. "I haven't seen this nemesis of yours."
"I wouldn't call her a nemesis," said Boris. "She's far too mediocre for that. But because she has inexplicably been given the rank of Grand Master, she didn't have to compete. She automatically went straight into the final."
"Oh, here she is now," said Michael.
There was commotion at the doorway as the anorak-wearing men rushed forward to get a glimpse of the great chess celebrity. They all gasped, one or two even swooned, and murmurs of, "She's brilliant and beautiful," could be heard about the room. Nanny Piggins rolled her eyes.
"Haven't these men seen a woman before?"
"Well, they spend their spare time at chess tournaments, so probably not," said Boris.
The crowd parted and Nanny Piggins and the children got their first glimpse of her.
"Oh," said Nanny Piggins.
She had to reluctantly concede that this Olga Svinja was indeed stunningly beautiful. True, she was very short, and her face was half obscured by an enormous pair of sunglasses and a long black fringe. And on anyone else, the grey trench coat and a huge faux fur hat might look silly, as if her head had been encased in a furry UFO. But somehow, Olga carried it off. There was something alluring, almost familiar, about her strikingly beautiful face.
"Ah, Boris," said Olga in a thick Russian accent, "we meet again."
"Olga, either you've been given a brain transplant, or you have somehow fooled the chess establishment into making you a grandmaster," said Boris.
"Boris," scolded Samantha, "it's not like you to be so rude."
"I'm not being rude," said Boris, "only truthful."
"Ha!" shrugged Olga dismissively. Russians like this type of guttural gesture. "Perhaps I have done both. Shall we play chess?" asked Olga, tucking a strand of her hair behind her ear.
"Of course," said Boris. "Unless you'd rather play Twister. I like that too."
They sat down at the chess table and the whole room, including Nanny Piggins, the children and 254 anorak-wearing men, fell silent. It was an engrossing battle. Even Nanny Piggins paid attention, aided by Michael handing her a constant stream of lollies so she could stay awake. It turned out that Boris and Olga were very evenly matched. Boris would try a bold Sicilian defence, and she would respond with a brilliant Siberian trap. She would try to trick him with a Budapest gambit, and he would respond with an Adler variation. The match wore on until they each had only 4 pieces left, and there were only 20 minutes left on the clock, 4 for Olga and 16 for Boris.
"Do you think Boris will be able to win in time?" whispered Derek.
"He would if he was allowed to put her in a headlock," said Nanny Piggins. "Really, it's ridiculous forcing a 10-foot-tall bear to play a war game with a 4-foot-tall woman. Obviously he'd win in real life."
"I don't know," said Samantha. "He is prone to crying."
Olga looked up from the board. She was clearly frustrated. She angrily rubbed her ear.
"Umpire," she called to the clipboard-carrying man, "I want to make an official complaint about audience members whispering. I want that pig thrown out."
She glared at Nanny Piggins. Everyone gasped.
"What did you say?" asked Nanny Piggins, glaring at Olga as if seeing her for the first time.
"Here we go," said Michael, bracing himself for Nanny Piggins' response.
Miss," said the clipboard-carrying man.
He was terrified of Nanny Piggins, and he did not even realise she was an 8th Dan black belt in Taekwondo. He was just terrified of women generally, even if they were pigs.
"I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave."
Ask me to leave? Asked Nanny Piggins. Ha! She enjoyed being dramatic too. I'm not the one you should be asking to leave. You should be throwing her out. Nanny Piggins pointed dramatically at Olga Svinja. Grandmaster Svinja? Asked the clipboard man. No, because Olga Svinja is not her real name, said Nanny Piggins. She is an imposter. Everyone gasped again. This was clearly becoming the world's second most exciting chess tournament. Nothing could ever equal the St. Petersburg chess final of 1913, where the Bolsheviks tried to overthrow the chess elite by using poisoned chess pieces. Her real name is Sue Piggins, and she is my identical twin sister, declared Nanny Piggins, and I can prove it. Nanny Piggins leapt forward and grabbed Olga's hair, yanking it hard. It didn't move. Ow! Screamed Olga. Why isn't your wig coming off? Asked Nanny Piggins. Have you superglued it on there? It's not a wig, you twit, said Olga. Nanny Piggins, cried the children, as they rushed forward to try to prevent her from escalating common assault to grievous bodily harm. Well, I bet you haven't had these stapled to your face, said Nanny Piggins, as she instead whipped off Olga's sunglasses. Again, everyone gasped, but this time from shock to find themselves staring at an exact clone of Nanny Piggins. It is one of your identical twin sisters, exclaimed Samantha. I think I recognise my genetic replica when I see her, said Nanny Piggins. It did take you 3 hours and you've been staring right at her, said Derek. I was distracted by that ridiculous hat, said Nanny Piggins. So what, demanded Olga. Sue, there's no crime against changing my name and speaking in a fake Russian accent. Oh, there's no crime in that, agreed Nanny Piggins, no matter how peculiar it may be. But I suspect there is a crime here, for my sister Sue is not a chess genius. She's not? Asked Michael. But your sisters are always brilliant at something. And she is, agreed Nanny Piggins, but it is not chess. She has a genius for grifting. What's grifting? Asked Michael. She's a con pig, said Boris. Exactly, pronounced Nanny Piggins. She has a genius for fooling others and taking advantage of the weak-minded. Then why would she target chess players? Asked the organiser. We're all very clever. You may be clever, said Nanny Piggins, but your minds are as weak as a weak blancmange. Put your hand up if you've ever heard of deodorant. Not one man in the room put his hand up. You see, said Nanny Piggins. Then how did she get to be a grandmaster? Asked Derek. You had to play a lot of tournaments to qualify. That's what I'd like to know, said Nanny Piggins, and I think I have the answer. Nanny Piggins peered closely at her sister. You're bluffing, said Sue, as she backed away. I think the answer lies in that hat, said Nanny Piggins. No Piggins would wear a winter hat today, 3 days into spring, not unless they had something to conceal in amongst all that faux fur. Nanny Piggins and Sue Piggins stared each other down. Sue Piggins weighed up her options. Not being as brainy as a chess genius, this took a few moments. Then suddenly, Sue Piggins, apparently deciding to abandon her claim to the year's supply of cheesecake, made a dash for the door. Unfortunately, the years of sitting at a chess table pretending to know how to play had taken their toll. She was no match for the superior athleticism of Nanny Piggins, who soon tackled her to the ground, where a wrestling match ensued. The sisters were evenly matched, being equally talented at hair-pulling and biting. But the faux fur hat was not up to it. It tumbled off Sue's head, revealing a tangle of multicoloured wires, a transistor receiver, and a tiny pink electronic device. Look, cried Derek, an earpiece. That's how you did it, accused Nanny Piggins. Someone has been telling you what moves to make. But who? She looked around the crowd of anorect men. Clearly not one of them, decided Nanny Piggins. But who else could see what was going on? Nanny Piggins walked over to the window, whipped a collapsible telescope out of her handbag. She carried one in case she should ever find herself on the high seas being attacked by pirates, and peered out into the distance. There, exclaimed Nanny Piggins. On the 10th floor, someone is watching us. Quick, we have to get over there before they make their escape. Nanny Piggins threw open the window, leapt out, did a commando roll through the rhododendron bushes, and took off at a sprint for the neighbouring building, making no concession for the honks and screeching tyres of the traffic on the busy road. Boris, the children, Sue Piggins, she came against her will because Boris carried her, and the more athletic of the chess players, about 6 of them, chased after her. But because they used the door and waited for the traffic to clear, by the time they got to the lobby of the other building, Nanny Piggins already had her victim trapped in a painful leg lock as she sat on top of her on the floor. Computers, communications equipment, and a large, powerful telescope lay strewn about them. There had evidently been a wrestling match. I've caught the real evil villain behind this wicked scheme to defraud the chess community, said Nanny Piggins proudly.
Who is it? Asked Derek.
A Russian spy, guessed Boris.
A disgruntled chess genius, guessed Samantha.
A lover of cheesecake, guessed Michael.
Yes, exclaimed Nanny Piggins. And who loves cheesecake more than a normal person?
Said everyone. This pop quiz was getting hard.
My identical twin sister, Deirdre Piggins, declared Nanny Piggins as she got up to reveal the crushed person she'd been sitting on. Deirdre stood up and brushed herself off. She looked exactly the same as Nanny Piggins and Sue Piggins, indeed all the Piggins 14 uplets, except that she had mousy brown hair and thick lensed glasses.
Ah, said the children. So the mousy hair and thick framed glasses are a disguise, guessed Samantha.
No, said Nanny Piggins. You see, Deirdre is a computer genius, so she's the only Piggins who actually needs to wear glasses, having wrecked her eyesight from years of staring at a screen. And the hair, well, that's just a sad fashion choice. Not all Pigginses have been blessed with my sense of style.
She's right, declared Deirdre.
That your hair is an unfortunate colour, asked Boris.
No, that I am a genius, said Deirdre. I knew I could program a computer brilliant enough to beat the greatest chess players, but no one would let me enter a machine in a tournament. So I enlisted the help of my morally bankrupt sister, Sue.
So you did all this to prove you're a master computer programmer? Asked the clipboard man.
Yes, but also for the cheesecake, said Deirdre.
Obviously, agreed Nanny Piggins and Sue Piggins.
And so Olga Svinia was disqualified from the chess competition, partly because she was not Olga Svinia, but mainly because she was a huge cheat. She and Deirdre were banned from ever entering a chess tournament again, which all three sisters agreed would be no hardship, and Boris won by default. He gave Deirdre the money to help repair the equipment that got damaged when Nanny Piggins sat on her. Then they all went to the cheesecake factory to claim the other, better part of the prize. And finally, they had a lovely party back at the greenhouse, eating an entire year's supply of cheesecake in one night.
Well, the chess tournament ended up being more exciting than we expected, said Michael.
Yes, agreed Nanny Piggins. But don't give chess the credit. Chess itself is definitely boring. But my sisters do have a knack for turning even the most tedious situation into a shocking international debacle. And that is the end of the chapter. So that's it for this week. Hopefully next week, well, definitely next week, I will have a new story for you. I'm going to get cracking on those Greek myths. It looks like I'm going to have the book of Nanny Piggins, the origin story, finished this week to send off to my editors to get to work on. So it's all happening here. So anyway, thank you for listening. Remember, if you're interested in getting some merchandise, there will be a link in the show notes through whatever device you're listening to now, or you can go to my website, rasprat.com. Okay, that's it for now. And until next week, when hopefully we'll be launching into Greek mythology again, that's it for now. Goodbye.